come to redemption.
Ivasam.
Sorrow narration.
Abhavam.
Which frees one from all reactions to sins.
Shriyad hears.
Shraddhaya.
Yuktaha.
Yaha. One who also. Bhaktya.
Great devotion.
And Makirtahe.
Repeats.
Na. Vari. Indeed.
Such a person.
Narakam.
To hell.
Yati. Goes.
Na.
Ikshitaha.
Is observed.
Yamakinkarai. By the order carriers of Yamaraj.
Yadi Bhakti.
Although Amangalaha. Inauspicious. Martyaha. A living entity with a material body.
Vishnu Loke.
In the spiritual world. Mahiyate. Is welcomed and respectfully received. Translation. Because this very confidential historical narration has the potency to vanquish all sinful reactions. One who hears or describes it with faith and devotion is no longer doomed to hellish life. Regardless of his having a material body, and regardless of how sinful he may have been. Indeed, the Yamadutas who carry out the orders of Yamaraj do not approach him, even to see him. After giving up his body, he returns home back to Godhead, where he is very respectfully received and worshipped. So, report Ma Om Vishnu Padaya, Vishnu Padaya, Namaste, Sarasate, Gauravai, Janati, Vishnishasi, Bhagavad, Chasubhai, Sitaraya, Omagyatati, Vananda, Sarabhanda, Sarakaya, Trapsuri, Nirita, Vijayana, Tasmashi, Hiravari, Namaha, Vanshadavapati, Krishchakrata, Sindhu, Viva, Chakrata, Namathavati, Vaishnavi, Yavanamo, Namaha. A few remarks and we'll do the next verse. This story is called Paramahuduja. Very confidential. Prabhupada somewhere defines confidential as meaning not everyone will be able to appreciate it. Most people will think, oh, it's a fiction, a fantasy or something. But here also it says, Prabhupada says historical narration. So the word itihasa is the word for history. And what it means, iti, thus, asa, it happened. So it means, this happened. So, not fiction, but history, and itihasa. There's a class of Vedic literature that are particularly called itihasa. Although this Bhagavatam is in a class called Purana, of the history of supplementary Vedic literature in different five groups. One is Quran, which means very old. But the stories in it are less otherwise known if they're factual, they're historical. They're just not, there's not much care for chronological order. Stories are actually itihasa. So itihasa, the two itihasas are the Mahabharata and Ramayana. These are called itihasas. They're more like conventional story of history. This happened at a certain time. The story of Ramachandra. Oh, the battle leading up to Kurukshetra, all the events leading up to the battle of Kurukshetra, the battle itself, and its aftermath. So those are particularly focused on time and place. But this has many historical variations in it that are, why are they here? For? Because this Agavaham, this story, Agavaham, removes sinful reactions, destroys sins. That person who hears with faith, Shradayanta, who is endowed with faith, who hears it that way, and one who also, anukipya, tells it to other people, bhaktya, with devotion, and that person does not go to hell. Even though he has a history of sins, and that's where he ought to go, Yamadevas do not approach him even to look at it. They stay away. Well, this is not now, just from hearing the story with faith, repeating it with devotion. So you think, well, come on, this is fantasy. You're not eligible. But if one is convinced about this, that this is actually factual information in the event that took place at one time, here's it with faith and repeats it. And that person also is relieved of all sinful reactions. The Yamadevas don't even look at him. And when he gives up his body, goes to Vishnu Loka, where he received quite respectfully welcome nicely to them. So that's the benediction. I've got many stories I can see in that describe it. The benediction that comes to the hearers of these stories. So now, text 49. Mriyamano Harir Nama Kirtan Kutro Pacharitam Ajayo Apti Agad Dhamma Kim Buddha Shradaya Srinam. While suffering at the time of death, Niyamana, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, Hari Nam Rinam. And although the chanting was directed toward his son, Buddha Shradayam, he nevertheless returned home back to Godhead. He went to the Dhamma. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, what is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? So, in other words, well, Prabhupada is a purport. At the time of death, chanting the name of his sons, still went back to Godhead, then what is the blessing for the benediction, the one who chants Shraddha with faith and love? The Prabhupada says, at the time of death, one is certainly bewildered because his bodily functions are in disorder. At that time, even one who has throughout his life practiced chanting the holy name of the Lord may not be able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra very distinctly. Nevertheless, such a person receives all the benefits of chanting the holy name. Even if you can't do it very well, because sometimes breathing is difficult. So whatever, because still one is trying. When the body is fit, therefore, why should we not chant the holy name of the Lord loudly and distinctly? If one does so, it is quite possible that even at the time of death, he will be properly able to chant the holy name of the Lord with love and faith. In conclusion, One who chants the holy name of the Lord constantly is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead without doubt. Now, there is a couple of pages of what Prabhupada calls supplementary note to this chapter. You will read the finish of this chapter. He says, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to texts 9 and 10 of this chapter form a dialogue concerning how one can become free from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. So text 9 and 10 back here, which Prabhupada translated but did not have a purport, didn't give a purport to it. So now he's give us this much out of what we have this purport. 9 and 10 says, the chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process for atonement. For a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmin, or for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method for atonement for one who murders women, the king or his father, or for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. So those are the verses. So here is Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary, as he said, it's in the form of a dialogue. Someone may say, it may be accepted that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one becomes free from all the reactions of sinful life. However, if one commits sinful acts in full consciousness, not only once but many, many times, he is unable to free himself from the reactions of such sins, even after atoning for them for 12 years or more. How is it possible then that simply by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, one immediately becomes free from the reactions of such sins? So that's the doubt. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur replies by quoting verses 9 and 10 in this chanting. Oh, so here it is again. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement. And now all these simple things, like heap of gold or other valuables, the drunkard, one who betrays a friend or relative, one who kills a brahmana, one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It's also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, he or his father. Pretty bad. He lives there. For one who slaughters cows and for all others. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. So Vishnu Chakravarti continued, one may atone for sinful life and banish all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name. Although this is not called atonement, the word is prayaschitta. But properly speaking, he's explaining how, in a way, chanting is more than prayaschitta. Ordinary atonement may temporarily protect a sinful person, but it does not completely cleanse his heart of the deep-rooted desire to commit sinful acts. We talked about this the other day, this karma ashraya, and very deeply rooted. He may commit a sin, he may have undergo prayasita, but still the tendency is there. Therefore, atonement is not as powerful as the chanting of the holy name. Remember this story about Yajna was being told to illustrate this point, because Maharaj Prishit has inquired. He's heard the description of all the hellish planets in the last canto, and being a Vaishnava, he feels very compassionate, and he wants to know, is there anything that can be done? Because we often see that people do something sinful, they suffer, they bore enemies, they get mason, even though they suffered for it. Or they undergo some ritual atonement and then again they sin. So he thinks that the process of atonement, but he asks how can people avoid going to these other planets? Because Goswami recommends this process of atonement for Esther. And then Maharaj Krishna rejects it on these grounds, and it doesn't seem to work very well, because people still go on and do other things. And so finally, he then also mentions a spiritual path. Austerity, tapasā, brahmacharya, nasaniya, jhāda, nichādīs, various things like that. But then finally, he says, bhakti. All these other spiritual things, it says, they destroy sins like a fire, going through abandoned forests, clears away the ground. But then Prabhupada points out still in that example that the sheep still come up again because they're underground. The roots are underground and the sheep come up again. And then he gives this kechi, he says, kechi kivalya bhakti. But there are some single form kivalya bhakti. Single-minded devotion service. Raya, Raya. Akamri Bhante Karsena. Nihara Deva Vasana. This process destroys sins like the sun dissipating fog in the morning. And when the sun has come up and the fog is there, the fog goes and doesn't come back. So completely. So that's his recommendation. And then he tells the story to illustrate the power of bhakti, specifically the chant of the holy name. So here he says, the atonement is not as powerful as the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, being Parasita. In the Shastras it is said that if a person once, only once chants the holy name and completely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord immediately considers him his ward and is always inclined to give him protection. This is confirmed by Sri Lakshmi. Thus, when Ajamiya was in great danger of being carried off by the order carriers of Yamaraj, the Lord immediately sent his personal order carriers to protect him. And because Ajamiya was freed from all sinful reactions, the Vishnu-dutas spoke on his behalf. Ajamiya had named his son Narayana, and because he loved the boy very much, he would call him again and again, although he was calling for his son. The name itself was powerful because the name Narayan is not different from the Supreme Lord, Lord Narayan. Like you say, Narayan, come and eat. Like when you do deity worship and you offer the deity, you say, a mantra that says, here's food, Ekatni Vedam, and Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Narayana Namaha. And then you give them a bed and say, here's your bed, Om Narayana Namaha. Here's your clothes, here's Vastra, Om Narayana. So he was like, Narayana, here's your bed, here's your clothes. It sounded just like deity worship. Because he was working on his son. So he was always calling the name Narayana all the time. When Arjuna named his son Narayana, all the reactions of his sinful life were neutralized. So he was chanting Narayana all the time. And as he continued calling his son and thus chanting the holy name of Narayana thousands of times, he was actually unconsciously advancing in Krishna consciousness. One may argue, and here's the other side, that's a unique statement. Since he was constantly chanting the name of Narayana, how was it possible for him to be associated with a prostitute and thinking of wine? Because while saying Narayana all the time, he would then engage in sinful activities. By his sinful actions, he was bringing suffering upon himself again and again. And therefore, one may say that his ultimate chanting of the land was the cause of his being free. However, his chanting would then have been nam aparad, nando bala yasya hi papa bhuti. One who continues to act sinfully and tries to neutralize his sin by chanting the holy name of the Lord is a nam aparad, an offender of the holy name. So this is an offense, singing on the strength of chanting. One encounter, it doesn't matter so much that I'm sitting, because I chant Hare Krishna, wipe it out. Prabhupada described this as enlisting the holy name in one's sinister purposes. So that here the holy name is meant to get us free from all sinful reactions, but somebody is using it to increase their sinful activities, thinking, well, it's okay. I'll go commit some sinful activity and I'll chant Hare Krishna. Neutralize it. I know that people think like this.
But that is an offense, no?
Yeah, it's an offense. But see, that then when there's nama aparad, then the potency of the holy name is actually not there. If one sins with this idea that it won't suffer, then chanting is nama aparad. And when there's nama aparad, the potencies of the holy name do not act. Bhaktivinoda Thakur even says, Vidhak, the holy name is no better than the letters of the alphabet. Prabhupada said there's a little bit of an effect, but not much. So that's what he's saying. He's singing and he's chanting the name, so there's this offense. So Vishnu Chakravarti says, in response, the lady said that Ajamiya's chanting was inoffensive because he did not chant the name of Narayana with the purpose of counteracting his sins. He did not know that he was addicted to sinful actions. It wasn't clear in his mind, actually. And nor did he know that his chanting of the name of Narayana was neutralizing. Thus he did not commit the nama aparada. And his repeated chanting of the holy name of Narayana while calling his son may be called pure chanting. Because of this pure chanting, Ajamiya unconsciously accumulated the results of bhakti. Indeed, even his first utterance of the holy name was sufficient to nullify all the sinful reactions of his life. To cite a logical example, a fig tree does not immediately yield fruit, but in time the fruits are available. Similarly, Ajamiya's devotional service grew little by little. And therefore, although he was committing very sinful acts, the reactions did not affect him. In the Shastras, it is said that if one chants the holy name of the Lord even once, the reactions of past, present, or future sinful life do not affect him. To give another example, if one extracts the poisoned fangs of a serpent, this saves the serpent's future victims from poisonous effects, even if the serpent bites repeatedly. Similarly, if a devotee chants the holy name even once inoffensively, this protects him eternally. He need only wait for the results of his chanting to mature in due course of time.
Does this mean that ignorance is bliss,
Mark? Some ignorance is bliss, yeah. It's not available for you or me, we know too much. But somebody may be doing like this. Prabhupada explains, of course, in other places that this chanting was actually Namabhasa. That there are three forms of the holy name, Shudanam, Namabhasa, and Namabharat. Now, this Namabharat is no poetry. Namabhasa, the Abhasa means light that's projected into darkness, like a reflection, or in this case, Thakur Haryas' example is dawning twilight, the half-light of dawn. The sun is below the horizon, but the dawn's light, the sun's light is in the sky. He says that dawning twilight makes the forest safe, because at night it's a dangerous place. There are wild animals and tigers and roes and buddhas, praises, fistulas, and so on. But when just that dawning twilight, all these things go away. The forest is safe. So similarly, glimpse of chanting only is not Abhasa. That not Abhasa destroys all sinful reactions. And the result is mukti. Where when the sun rises, there's Shudana, then the result is prema. So somehow Adhyaya was Namabhas. He wasn't committing an offense, but at the same time, he was sinful, so he wasn't love of God yet. Therefore, he didn't go to hell, but and so then he made his further advancement to pure devotional service. So when we are cultivating our holy name, if we learn the offenses against the holy name, and those offenses we have to chant while trying to give up offenses. This is really the definition of smoking by sadhana, or good sadhana, chanting while trying to give up offenses. If you look at that list, it covers everything. To disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So, if I commit a sinful activity in disobedience to the order of the spiritual master, not only is it a sin, but it's also an offense. So these are they're. But if I'm trying to give up offenses, I'm just trying, making the effort, then that's Namabharata. It's not Namabharata, excuse me, Namabhasa. It's Namabhasa. There's different kinds of Namabhasa. And this is Ajahn's kind, while he's indicating something else. Or there's a place called Autorama by Aris. In America they have the word Rama means something.
using big sort of autorama, the washerama, cinerama. The people are saying that that's also nama, another form of namabhasa. For the devotee, the namabhasa means that we are chanting while trying to give up offenses. So Prabhupada calls this the clearing stage of chanting. It's Prabhupada sometimes calls it almost pure chanting. Almost pure chanting. Because you can see, even if once one keeps chanting in that way, there is some course of time, the result will be there. Then the Shudana, that's the real, the Shudana is the real holy name. And we can know that if when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, our hair is not standing on any tears of blowing from the mouth, then there's some awareness. So we always have to be, well, what can we do? We can try and give up these offenses. I think sometimes they're a little subtle, too, like this one. I may not calculate, I may not make a calculation that, okay, I'll go out and have a few beers and then chant Hare Krishna, so I won't bore you here. I mean, I'm thinking like that. But still, I have this kind of subtlety of, if I do some simple activity, it won't be too bad, because I'm a devotee. And that may be a subtle form of this sitting on the seat. If I could make this simple activity, what if I could never chant after that? Then I'd be a little more frightened of doing it. So we could sometimes become a little complacent in that complacency, maybe at least a subtle form of sitting on the string for chanting. So one has to be careful. But when Bhaktivinoda Thakur analyzes these sinful, these offenses in the Harinama Chintamani, he actually says that pramada, inattentiveness, is in a sense the foundation or the breeding ground of all the other offenses, and that if one is not trying to become free from inattentiveness, it will not be possible to become free from the other offenses. Distraction, not being a Christian. And so for me, I realized that the best time to work on this offense is while chanting japa, because that's our dedicated time. We have our commitment to 16 rounds. We should chant so many rounds. We should always be chanting, really. Just try to always keep that chanting going on under any circumstances. But while chanting japa, there's a very interesting arena, because everything is very simple now. Because when you're chanting japa, there's the holy name. And there's my mind. And I try to fix my mind on the holy name. I try to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And that should be the total content of my consciousness. Just the name of Krishna. I don't even have to think of a picture of Krishna or anything, because everything is there in the name. I can just simplify everything and just say those names. But we discover through our embarrassment that even though the holy name of Krishna is there, my mind sometimes goes, oh, wait a minute, why did I start thinking of this? Am I going to be able to catch that bus later on? Maybe there's another bus. Maybe I should check the schedule again. We start worrying about something. Suddenly our mind is somewhere else. Now, or sometimes you start thinking, and suddenly you get a certain mental clarity in the chat, and suddenly you get a good idea about some problem or something at work. And then you start thinking about it. And then you go on and on. You're chanting, but your mind goes further and further away. So in various ways, while we're chanting, we suddenly are used to that. We're thinking about something else. So if we just do that, if we just chant and we let our mind go anywhere, then that's Nam Amarana. But if we want to be on the clearing stage, Nam Abhasa, as soon as I notice that my attention is torn, I bring it to the place again, the view of the Holy Name. My mind goes away, I bring it again, place it to the Holy Name. Then the jhana becomes something of an effort, because as Arjuna says to Krishna, the mind is restless, and like controlling the wind. And Krishna said, yeah, that's a problem. He said, but it can be overcome by practice. Practice means you sit down and you do it every day, like learning a musical instrument or other type or any skill, you practice. Practice means repetition, abhyasa yoga. So we practice and detachment. By becoming detached, there's less turbulence of the mind. It's not so agitated. But if one has become attached and has some material desires or is angry, then you're trying to think of Krishna, and there's like this invasion from the mind of agitating thoughts. So detachment. And then practice. Your mind wanted to bring it back. And one discovers that how hard it is to even chant one round without the mind wandering. Well, this is our practice. The thing that I find that helps me anyway, everyone's different, so I can't say it for everybody, but I realize that of course I'm supposed to chant 16 rounds a day. Sometimes when you're really trying to concentrate, that looks impossible. But really, taking a hint from Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one book, he points out that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is made of 8 pairs of names. And actually, he brings each pair to one of the verses of the Shastra prayers. Each pair indicate the first Hare Krishna in the case of the first verse of the Shastra prayers. And so the Shastra prayers are also very important. As they form the atmosphere for chanting. A lot of temples, they chant the Shastra prayers in the morning before that as a group. So, but I realize that at least while I'm chanting, what is immediately present to consciousness is one pair of names. So all I have to do is really worry about that. And concentrate on Hare Krishna. Don't worry about even the rest of the mantra, what you speak of, the rest of the round, what you speak of 16 rounds. Just worry about that now. And try and concentrate on Hare Krishna. So if we actually, what we're doing when we try to do this is we're showing Krishna that we have some interest and care. And Krishna acted immediately reciprocates with us. And we'll start to feel the potency of the Holy Name. And actually, even if we're mechanically focusing our mind, actually some feelings will come. We'll start to feel some gratitude and attraction for the Holy Name. And then when there's feeling, we can chant with even more intensity. But the idea is to concentrate the mind with great intensity, so feelings help. You can't make a feeling, but we can concentrate or try to concentrate, and then also feelings will come. So this is one of the ways. So then while we're chanting our Japa, we're dealing with this root against Pramada, which literally means insanity, not thinking of Krishna. The whole world is insane. You can see it is all Pramada. So then we can also, but then we become effective in dealing with any other offenses that may be committed. But just a sincere effort to try to become free
You know, in the beginning we're not so successful all the time. That's okay. One has to keep on trying. I read yesterday this verse where Krishna says that in the beginning one cannot control the senses, but with the devotee should not become depressed and should keep on going. Because certainly it sometimes looks quite depressing because we discover that we're trying to become free from the senses and sins, we discover just what a mess we got ourselves into. Will it ever come to that? But no, we don't, because ultimately, you see, we are not the one. The deep-rooted desire and joy matter, we are not the one that cleans it out. It's Krishna. And our only effort is to ask Him to do it and really mean it. Because as long as there's material attachments, what I'm saying to Krishna, yes, Krishna, remove all my material desires, but in 10 years, give me a little time first. Or remove all my material desires except this one. Leave that one alone. So then things, but if, so one has to really want this to pray sincerely like this, and then the Lord will come and do it. But really, we do have to ask Him. But just by chanting in this way, we'll come to this point. So that's how to make progress in spiritual life. And if so many devotees are going away and leaving the Hare Krishna movement and falling back into sinful activities, I think the main reason is people just aren't practicing properly. Even Prabhupada really told us all about these things. Most of the stuff I had to figure out by myself from reading Prabhupada, my early leaders in ISKCON, nobody told me these things. Chanting on Java was just something we did so we could go out and distribute books. You can just get it over with. And the purport of the Shastra prayers was distribute books. I mean, nothing against book distribution, but there's also one has to become Krishna conscious at the same time. So we're a little too American, you know, always working on the outside and never thinking about the inside. So there was a little neglect of spiritual culture and our movement to pay the price for it. But it's all the Prabhupada's instructions are all there. Then you can really distribute books nicely like this. So one devotee actually asked Srila Prabhupada, how can I improve my book distribution? Prabhupada said, by sitting down and chanting all your rounds at one time and not getting up. I remember once, in the early days, I decided that I was going to make all the devotees, I was a new temple president, I was going to make all the devotees stay in the temple room and chant their rounds without leaving. I was a bit of a tyrant in those days, but anyways, and it was amazing. People were having the hardest times. They were going nuts. Here was our time of the job period, you know, and everybody would be, they would go and do other things, read, go to sleep, all this other stuff, and when they actually could sit down and stop sit like for an hour and chant japa, they really such
a good thing. That's what being practiced earlier in all the temples,
right? Huh?
That's what being practiced in all the temples before.
I don't know what everybody did, but I don't know the worst anybody who stayed. Had the garden. Flaming sword. Any questions? Yeah.
Okay. Can you think about the meaning of the
holy? Yes, you should think about the meaning of it. What is the meaning of the holy? Yeah, Krishna, please engage me in service. That's right. Yeah, you think about that when you chant. And also, the other thing is, the corollary is, please disengage me from anything that's blocking us by engaging your service. So we can think of certain particular things, some particular service we want to be engaged in, and some particular obstacle we would like to have removed. And pray to have that removed. It is a higher samatha, but it is also a prayer. So I said, whenever there's a prayer, there's a request for a benediction. You should always ask for something. Not, but we have to know what to ask for. Not that you shouldn't ask it, but don't ask for the wrong thing.
Another question, in the Christianity, the confession itself makes them clear of the sins, and then we talk about austerity and say, even the austerity is not good unless we have the devotional service or the japa, clearing all the repentance, then it won't matter. Mm-hmm. Why is it so?
Why would it?
I mean, in the Christianity, yeah. People go and they commit, they confess, yeah. And mm-hmm. the sin, mm-hmm. that you are clear out of the sin. Mm-hmm. And we talk about sin, you know, in austerity, we give the austerity to repent mm-hmm. for doing any sins, and that's not accepted, that does not clear the sins.
The cross, also you will have to do some atonement, maybe usually the priest will say you this or that.
Yeah.
That was all in the sense. But that process is actually, if it's done right, it's not. When you confess to the priest, you're confessing to God, I have done these things. And you also have to have a desire not to do it again. If you do it just the same way, like just to, so you can go on sinning, then it also is over.
Every Sunday.
Yeah, every Sunday, every Saturday, actually, since you go to Mass on Sunday, you go to this. So people do with that attitude, and that's also superficial. But if one does it correctly, it's not just a ritual atonement, but it's rather the same thing happens in japa. Confession, that when I chant japa, I can also think, please, I have this, and I have that. Please remove this. I'm crying. I admit to Krishna. I'm fallen. I have so many. Even I turned away from you, and I'm sorry. I ask for forgiveness, and so then there's honesty and repentance and forgiveness and the reestablishment of the relationship with Krishna. All that happens during chanting too. That's why we don't necessarily have the same confession.
Repentance by doing fasting or doing...
Repentance just might be very sorry. Chanting japa itself is about you don't have to fast or anything else. You just please forgive me. I'm sorry I committed a simple activity. I'm sorry I still want to commit simple activities. Please destroy this desire in my heart. That's repentance. I know I have these feelings because I turned away from you, and now I want to come back. Please accept me. That's no prayer. Please take me back. I'm your servant, but kinkara, and where am I? In this rough ocean of material existence. So please pick me up and place me among the ones that are clinging to your lotus feet. That's how we should pray. I need you, and let's do it. And Mahaprabhu. Shri Prabhupada.